Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of the Storybox. Now, normally I only do three episodes a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And even then, it is quite difficult to actually release those three. But I thought I would release this special person's story as a special episode because she is an incredible and remarkable human being. And I didn't want to hold back this woman's story because I feel like with what we struggle with today, it kind of puts into perspective a lot of things for us. Her name is Jessica de la Morena, and her cancer journey has transformed her and led her to create an empowerment and well-being movement called You Are the Hero. She is on a mission to help people going through adversity to find strength and, most importantly, to find the inner hero that has been there all along. Now, Jessica has been through two cancer journeys. She is on her second one currently, and her intention is to reach people with inspiration and recommendations of resources and lessons learned by others at the onset of their personal disruptions to help them shift from being reactive to taking responsibility in their well-being and lives, and therefore actively look for solutions and find the positive opportunities in the situations they are facing. She is a business development and strategy executive in a global company where she also teaches transformational leadership courses and does group and individual coaching. Jessica also loves opportunities to change people's mindsets through inspirational speeches. She is half Spanish and half American. She has traveled extensively all her life. She is also fascinated by different cultures and perspectives that enrich her own experiences and allow for her to deepen her understanding of herself. Now, this is a very different conversation and format to the one that you're probably used to each the other three episodes per week. But this one in particular, we just had a conversation. And Jessica didn't even know that I was going to be interviewing her or even using this conversation as a way to or release it for that fact. So I hope you guys get a lot out of her story because she is truly remarkable. She's on her mindset towards the fact that she does have cancer is one that I found very inspirational. Jessica herself is an inspiration to many in her community. And funny story, she reached out to me and I didn't want to keep her episode on the cutting room floor at all. I thought, what better way to inspire you guys to help you through your week than to bring on Jessica's story? And I wanted to do it as a special episode. Who knows, it might be the first of many special episodes just sitting down with regular human beings that are trying to do amazing things. And so I hope you guys really enjoy listening to the story of Jessica de la Morena.
Here we are in confinement still. Things are still pretty crazy here in Madrid with the COVID. And then I'm kind of juggling my I'm going through treatment for my illness. And then in parallel, you know, trying to stay away from people so I don't get sick. And I've managed to stay COVID free all these months. So that's quite a good thing. And I've gotten to, you know, this whole thing with, you know, it's been terrible going through it again. But at the same time, it's been what has given me the opportunity to launch my You Are the Hero project. I think everything happens as it should for a reason. And it's just, you know, I had it pending the first time around. I wanted to do something like this and just didn't do it because of numerous reasons. And now it's like, now's the moment. So it's been really, you know, it's not been fun on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's been great to do this project. And I've gotten to meet so many great people through it. And that's been the best part.
So the project itself. So why didn't you do it before? Like you said that you had numerous reasons. Are you able to share what they were?
Yeah, I just, you know, when everything kind of, so I had this radical remission after going through like horrible treatment. And then I just kind of fell back into work. You know, I wanted to, I was really involved in this program that they had at my company, that was a transformational leadership program. Mm. And I thought it was a great opportunity for me to be able to kind of reach a lot of people and, you know, help them transform. And I think that's the whole point of You Are the Hero. It's that, I think when people are exposed to transformation and to techniques and, kind of, you know, people really sharing their story and how they got through adversity, I think that's what really makes the difference for someone to switch, you know, and to really change their mindset and to start thinking, wait a minute, you know, I have the choice, you know, and how I'm going to behave and how I'm going to react to things. And I can move from a victim to a kind of a more of a proactive role. And so I kind of really got into this program at my company. And so I was getting to transform about 100 people a month. But you know, I thought, okay, this is great because I get this whole certification and I get to, you know, get more involved in this way. But it wasn't 100% satisfying to me. And I think it's probably because it just was limited in the sense of how much I could really do. And so, yeah, I just, it just, there was just too much. And so also one of the things that I had really learned in my first, treatment time was that self-care was really important and that I didn't want to take too much on. And so I just couldn't add an additional, you know, an additional big project like that. So this time around, with the treatment, I basically just started telling my friends about it and they were just like, you know, we really want to help you make this happen. And so I've been doing it when I feel more or less good. Now I'm feeling better now because I stopped with the chemo about a month and a half ago and now I'm just doing immunotherapy. So now I'm feeling better, but in the moments where I wasn't feeling so good, my friends were helping me do it. We were able to manage it. And now that we've launched it, I'm just having so much activity from it and, you know, lots of speaking engagements and, you know, people are asking me to, you know, be in podcasts and then I'm reaching out to people to collaborate. And so it's just been, really, really great. Really great. So I'm so happy that it, you know, that I was able to do it now. So
I guess to get some context for people that are listening, going back a little bit to your story and what was it like for you finding out the very first time that you did have cancer?
It's interesting. I think every time you go through something, it brings a learning experience, right? So, I think the first time around is just the shock of something so big happening that it comes out of nowhere. And that really is just, you know, the rug is pulled out from under you. You just, you know, don't know what's happening. Lots of confusion. And then suddenly, I don't know, I had a strange thing happen to me, which was that it felt like kind of like suddenly it's just everything was up for question. Like, well, anything I had to do, anything I had to choose, it just felt like I had all these new choices, you know? And so the first kind of thing that came up was, well, we didn't know what the extent of what I had was. And so for a whole week, I was thinking that it was really extended all over because of the type of cancer that I had. And after a whole bunch of tests and, you know, horrible kind of a week long of waiting, I found out that it was localized. And so it was too big for surgery, but it was localized. And so it was very interesting because it just completely changed my mindset to be thinking, you know what, I'm so grateful that there's something for me to do about this. And so I could really just shift my mindset to, you know, more of a problem solving mode. And so I just started with, okay, what are the treatments that I have to do? You know, who do I need to talk to? You know, I reached out to other doctors as well because I wanted to get different opinions because it was a rare case. And so through my network, you know, I just reached out to different doctors. I was able to get different opinions and just kind of ensure that what I was doing was what I really thought I should be doing. And so I started taking steps where I was empowered, right? So even in the context of thinking, okay, like I need to start thinking not only about my physical healing, but what about, you know, my mental well-being? Like, you know, is there something I need to work on here? And so I started going to complementary therapies, and I started exploring really, really interesting different kinds of complementary therapies like hypnosis and biodecoding and quantum healing, even though that might sound a little bit out there, but I tried everything that felt okay to me. I was really just kind of quieting myself and really stopping to ask myself, okay, does this feel right? You know, is this helpful? And, you know, just taking it like that. And it was a time of a lot of introspection. And I made a lot of changes in my life, in a lot of ways. And then it felt like a very fast, I mean, it was a slow happening, but it just, before I knew it, 4 months had flown by and I was done. So then I got to have a great, like, kind of rebirth, if you will, for a good, year and a half. And then unfortunately, you know, I'm now in this situation where I had this relapse, which as you say, when in the second time around is a whole other situation. You kind of relive everything from the first time around. And I think that's what makes it most difficult, because those fears that you've been trying to hold back for a whole year and a half of checkups, they kind of come back again. But I'm just trying to keep the same mindset that I had the first time, and then really, really focused on helping others, you know, that are going through adversity. I want them to really have that transformation happen as well. And I think it's not only that, but it's like a lot of the information that I was getting word of mouth from people, I think is so valuable. And so I want that to be more widespread. And then they have kind of an ulterior motive behind the project as well, which is that, you know, I think that if people start really becoming conscious of the power they have within them, they won't look outward so much, and they'll look more inward, and become more proactive and less reactive to things, and again, less victims to things. So I think that can really change society. And I think that would be a great side effect of all of this, as well as helping people shift from kind of an individual, you know, individualistic perspective to more of a collective perspective, and realize that we're all going through adversity, right? We're all going through things that, you know, can really shake us. And the question is, how can we help each other? And how can we look for the opportunity in it to find something positive and see all the possibilities that there are? Because there are lots of them, right? Oh, yeah.
I love this mindset that you
have towards something that is obviously going to be life-threatening, or it is life-threatening. And I'm curious for you, what sort of cancer do you have? And secondly, do you fear death at all?
The first question cut off a little bit, so I didn't know what you asked me. Sorry. Can you repeat the question?
The first question is,
what sort of cancer do you have? How aggressive is it? And the second question is, do you fear death as a result of having cancer?
Well, right now, so the cancer has metastasized, and so now it's in my lungs. I know it's a kind that can move very fast, and so that's why they have to keep it very much in check. I think, I have not asked my doctors at all about statistics. I don't read about statistics. I think that was also why You Are the Hero was so important to me, because when I went through all of this, I would look online for information, and all I could find was just terrible, you know, mortality rates and lots of really negative information. And I just don't want to be around that. And so, you know, I don't know how, I know a little bit, because I know it's the kind that's very complicated. So that's why they're doing everything they can. But I don't want to know more than that, because I think that you know, in my mind, I'm going to heal and I'm going to be fine. And so I think that's what I'm focused on. I'm not afraid of death. I'm more afraid of abandoning my children, if anything. And of of hurting, you know, the people around, not hurting, but having people around me, like my parents or my, you know, family and friends and people who are close, you know, suffer. That's the part, I think that's the hardest part to kind of swallow.
How have they been able to, how have your kids been able to deal with their mother going through this difficult journey?
You know, I think children have just such an amazing way of helping us come back to looking at things kind of objectively. And when I say objectively, I mean free of, you know, additional stigmas or beliefs. So they have really seen things very naturally, and it's really helped me a lot. So when I say that, for example, like, you know, when I started losing my hair the first time, I was very stressed about it, and I used to have really long, a lot of hair, and my daughter would braid it. And so, when it started falling out, I was like, look, you know, it's starting to fall out. And I was stressing all about it all day long. And over dinner, I mentioned it, and my eldest said, well, why don't you just shave it off? And I said, well, you know, I looked at her and I thought, well, she's so right. Like, of course that's what I should do. 'Cause if it's falling out in clumps, you know, it's what I should do. But, you know, we have all these stigmas attached to that. No, it's like, it feels, the feeling of losing your hair like that, especially I think for women, is it's very much attached to our identity. And so it seemed like this really big thing, but, you know, they just made it seem kind of more normal. So yeah, they really helped me a lot along the way, and they have been helpful and continue to be very helpful. It's just hard, I think, from the perspective of more me, with the understanding of the possibility of what could happen. And then that's where your, you know, your monkey mind takes you places where it's not useful to go. Right. So I think also a lot of the work I did in the first time I had to experience this, I had never really meditated before. And I started really doing that regularly. And that helped me so much, really start to become more aware of my own thoughts and realize that, you know, I'm not my thoughts. And so I think all of that has been really helpful in being able to manage those moments when you have really low moments, and to really take a step back and observe that that's happening, and that it's your mind's doing. So you can choose, right, what you're going to concentrate on, and choose to focus on things that are helping you, not hindering. Yeah.
So talk to me about some of
the things that you like to focus on. I think you mentioned meditation there for a moment. How has that helped you sort of be in this frame of mind, this positive frame of mind, for those people that are, I'm not sure if any of my listeners actually are struggling with cancer battles, but I have people in my life that are currently struggling with cancer. So I always listen to their mindset, and they're always, it's very deflating for a lot of people. It's a very hard journey to actually go down. So I'm curious for you, what do you really try to focus on? Like, what are some of the things that help you day to day?
I would say first, the meditation is very grounding. I think that has been something that's just very useful to just quiet my mind and be grounded. And to be able to observe this kind of concept of the fact that we are not our thoughts, right? I think the other thing that is really important has been to write, to journal. For me, I think that has allowed me to really get a lot of things off of my chest, to externalize emotions and feelings. And, you know, there's a lot of thoughts that go around in your head, and it allows you to just put them somewhere. And then in fact, when you actually read them or, you know, observe them, sometimes I've recorded myself. When you listen back, it's like you think, wow, that's not even me. Like, who is that person? Right. And so that's what actually helps you really see that those thoughts aren't you. It's just fears that are just coming up, and many of them aren't even yours. Right. And I think the last thing that I would say that is that was just so important, or that is so important, is really just focusing on what brings you joy. And so you want to be in a good place because you want to be able to enjoy your day to day. And what's so weird about when you go through something like this is that, you know, before when I found out I had this, I felt fine, right? So I felt fine. And then you go into this situation of feeling pretty crappy because of all the medication that you're being given. And you have to remind yourself that that medication is what's healing you. However, it's making you feel terrible, right? So it's kind of this weird thing where you have to also prep mentally every day that you're going to do this and that, you know, you're going to feel terrible, but it's going to help you in your healing. And so it's like that visualizing that you're going to, you know, that that's going to get better. And I think it's that kind of having that wider purpose, no, is what, why are you here and what you want to just make the most of every day. And I think that goes back to wanting to also be in a positive mentality because, I mean, this is the time you have. So even if you have to go through this right now, it's also the time is ticking and it's time that you should enjoy, right? So, yeah, you can have your low moments and it's very normal to have them. And so when you have them, just let yourself have them and be kind to yourself. But at the same time, you know, stop and think, wait a minute, you know, whose thoughts are these? Like, are they really mine? And can I replace them with other ones that are more helpful to me? Yeah.
I think that's very wise because oftentimes our mind immediately goes to the negative. It's almost like it's trained to do that.
And we have
to kind of stop it
and
in its tracks before it becomes a belief.
Because the more we tell ourselves that we're struggling, we're hurting, we're in a lot of pain, then
we can form that in our hearts and in our minds
more so that it becomes a belief. So every single day we wake up, we're just
creating more negative for our body. And our body is an amazing
thing.
Like it responds to what we actually say
to it.
And if we're constantly saying, oh, I can't get up today.
Hey, I'm too tired. Because I've noticed that in my own life, even more recently on Monday, I was like, I couldn't get out of bed. And I'm like,
what's going on here? Couldn't even lift my arms.
I was so tired. I was wiped out. And then
I kept telling myself, I can't get up. I can't do this, you know. And I just like had to stop and say, no,
I can get up. Let me do it. So I finally got up. But it's like so true
what you were saying
there. And I think it's good for people to hear that, especially someone
like yourself that is going through such a difficult journey. I want to go back a little bit to sort of how you grew up. You're in Madrid at the moment. Have you always
lived in Madrid? Did you grow up in Madrid?
No, so I'm half American, half Spanish. I grew up half and half. And then I ended up studying in New York and I moved back after my studies and have stayed in Madrid ever since. However, the jobs I've had have really allowed me to travel quite a lot. So I've been, you know, all over the place, you know, Asia, Latin America, Africa, all over for work. And for personal fun, because I love traveling, that is one of my hobbies and one of my pastimes. Because obviously in the last year with COVID, it's changed dramatically. But yeah, I grew up in a multicultural environment, and I think that also has been something that has allowed me to be more open-minded, you know, and just kind of more potentially aware of just lots of different perspectives and different ways of doing things and realizing that, you know, our thought, it just most everything that comes out of our mouth or that we think is mostly a belief or an opinion, right? So kind of being aware of that is something that's really useful because it allows you to really, you know, question things when you're stuck and just say, wait a minute, like I really have a choice with things, no? So I think that's something that's one of the things that I probably took away from growing up like that, one of the many things, I think.
And did you ever see yourself doing this amazing project? You were the hero. Did you ever see yourself like in your jobs?
And No. No, but all I'm doing is really just creating the space that I would have liked. And I think I just want to make a difference to both the people that are looking for that positivity, but as well to the people that aren't, because I think that they will be the ones who will be most, because the ones who are looking for positivity will find it. And, you know, if you're a positive person and you're looking for kind of constructive ways forward in a, you know, in a problem solving mode, you're going to find that way out. But the ones that don't are the ones that are stuck in that kind of, you know, rabbit hole of thoughts that are really just dragging them down, and they can't see outside. And so those are the ones especially that I hope that, you know, will be kind of touched by reading some inspiration or guiding story. That it doesn't matter about what, because what's so interesting as well that I've found is that it doesn't really matter what type of adversity we're talking about, but someone who's going through migraines can be helped by the story of someone going through cancer, and someone going through, you know, a divorce can be helped by someone that has, you know, had a parent commit suicide or whatever it may be. And so I think it that's what's also very powerful. And it's kind of what's this thread that, you know, brings everyone together, is we all are going through adversity. And we can all go through that transformation. It just is just a matter of having the resources and the capability to actually, you know, see beyond what you're seeing in the moment. So yeah, I just hope that it can help a lot of people going through whatever it is that they're going through. And also for those who have gone through it, I think it's very, very powerful to share your story. There's a lot of stigma about potential, you know, illness and mental health and lots of different things. And I think a lot of people go through stuff feeling very alone because they don't feel comfortable enough to be vulnerable. And I think that's also what I'd really like to change with this project too, is that, you know, people feel comfortable enough to be vulnerable because they know that they're in a community that's positive and that's, you know, trustworthy and a safe place, and that they're going to be supported by everyone in it. No? Yeah. And that's healing in itself, to be able to be vulnerable, get it out, kind of release that process, and know that you're helping others. It's just it's a really just, you get a high from it.
I get a high, yeah, doing this, speaking to amazing people, even though like it is sometimes extremely crazy. There's so much to it, but you put all of it aside really, and you say, okay, I want to focus on this person and try my absolute best to get to the heart of that person, because that's what's important and that's what's going to help, I hope, someone that is going through a difficult time, someone that is struggling. And like, I love your story because you're so positive, even though you're going through crazy things, but then you're paying it forward. You're giving people an opportunity to share their story as well, and saying you're the hero of your own story as well. And that can help someone else that might need it, that might be struggling, because that's what I love about stories. Like, my story is different to yours, yet somehow we're able to relate to some part of it, and we're able to relate to the struggle of life. We're able to relate to pains that each and every one of us go through. So, like, and for those people that are listening, Jessica reached out to me, and I was like, how in the world did you find me all the way from Madrid? But thank you so much for reaching out. I really, really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it was great. I heard one of your podcasts and was really inspired by it, and just loved also what you're doing. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great to connect? I think you also have a beautiful story to share. And so I thought that might be something that you might be willing to do. And yeah, I just wanted the opportunity to get the word out about You Are the Hero. You know, I wanted to reach as many people as possible, and I'm on the hunt for amazing heroes to share their stories and be inspirational for others, and also looking to you know, to make it more known so that it reaches more people who need it. So
is there one person that you would love to have on your website to share their story and promote their story?
So there's one person that I did read. Well, there's a lot of people all over the world, right? But when I first went through one big adversity some years ago, I read a story about Anita Morjani. I don't know if you know who she is. She died and came back. she was very, very sick. And she actually died and then, and, you know, revived. And she wrote this beautiful book called Dying to Be Me. And it really struck a chord. And I've been reaching out to her, but haven't had any luck. I've been reaching out on different platforms. But I just love to, I just think she has this great message that she's really, she's now made it her life's purpose to share with the world. And I love that, that she's just taken that on and just the message that she has, you know, about love. And a lot of it comes back to self-love. And I think it's just such a powerful, powerful message she has. And yeah, I would love to have her story on, You Are the Hero. But I mean, I mean, I'm sure there's a zillion people out there who have as powerful stories. Right. And yeah, it's just a question of reaching out and getting, you know, feel, letting them know that they have the opportunity to share it here. And yeah, I really think it's just very different than anything I've seen out there because as I said, it has such strong community values and that's something that I have not found anywhere. And I think that's what really makes a big difference in the way the stories are written. So that's another thing. So sometimes I've received stories where they have like a slight positive piece to it, but it's mostly negative. And so I've gone back and written back and thanked them profusely for, you know, being so vulnerable and being so generous, showing their, sharing their story. And then asking them some questions like, you know, what did you get out of this and how did that help you? And, you know, a bit kind of coaching them to find those points, no? And I think it's been then afterwards, you know, they've come back and kind of added more and complimented their story. And then it's been so interesting that for them to come back and say, wow, you know, thank you so much for helping me see it in that light. And I think that's what a lot of it's, I didn't do anything. All I did was just ask questions, right? Just to help them find that information, which is within them anyway. Yeah, I think that's, there's so many stories out there and so many amazing people out there that don't even kind of value that inner hero they have. And so that's the point, right? I think we could all write probably 8-10 stories, depending on what age we are. But I mean, it's just natural. Life has ups and downs and we go through adversity. And the question is, you know, are you able to transform it into something positive? Yeah, thank you. No, it's definitely helpful. And that's definitely how I operate in general. So I think that you know, you knock on a door and sometimes it opens, sometimes it doesn't, but it doesn't, it's not a message in itself if it doesn't open. It's just, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe it's not the right door. Maybe, you know, it's not the right question. And so it's just, you know, let it sit and kind of see how it flows. And I think when things just, you know, move forward naturally, they just kind of flow in the right way. And there's something to be said about that too. No, it's, you need to kind of know that things are going to go at its pace. Right. And it's very, that's been another kind of big learning for me in all of this is that, you know, I used to be a very, very high paced person. Like I was a high flying kind of executive and all over, you know, I was notorious for just being, doing 20 things at once. And, you know, I was the typical multitasker and everything. And it's like, I've changed so dramatically and just slowed down so much. And it's also seeing like in this project, well, yeah, it just has to go at its rhythm and I can't do more. There are days that I just, you know, I'm just on the sofa all day and I can't, I just can read a little bit and that's it. And other days I feel better and I have more energy. And then have to have lots of naps and whatever. And you know what? That's just where I am right now. And that's fine. And it's going to go, it's going at this pace and it's the right pace. So I think there's, you just have to also kind of accept that, you know, and I think it's going to be, I think as long as it just reaches the people that need it, then I'm happy about it. And yeah, I just like it to reach as many people as possible. And so that's also something we're doing kind of with the language, because I'm half Spanish, half American. I wanted to make sure that it was also in Spanish. Because I think here in Spain, there's a lot less content of this, well, of this type. There isn't content anywhere, but I think that here particularly, it's really needed. And so, yeah, I've been, you know, if I receive a story in English, I'll translate it. And as you were suggesting, recently, some people have been more open about sharing their story publicly, not anonymously. And so I've been doing kind of little interview, not interviews, but kind of more of a chat where we're getting into more detail of kind of those tips and tricks that really helped someone go through their adversity. And so we've been doing those weekly, and those have been really great. And yeah, just, I mean, you just can't imagine the types of heroes I'm uncovering. So yeah, it's been really great experience so far. And I hope it just grows and grows and grows and it helps as many people as we can.
It's very exciting. I can't wait to actually see the trajectory of, okay, you've started something and to where it goes. And I hope that I can help in whatever way that I can with my ability, albeit very limited, to try and get this out there to as many people as I possibly can. I need a team. But it's just, yeah, this is me at the moment. So,
well, maybe you need to start putting that out there and it'll start and start asking for it. I'm willing to help you.
I can't put that on you. That's my thing. Like, I'm too, I want that, but I'm also very careful how much I can put on to someone. But I'm here to serve. I'm not here to take at all. Like, I want to serve you, your mission, everything that you're doing as best as I can. I don't like, I have a problem with receiving stuff, receiving kindness. But
right, but don't you think that's interesting? So in a sense, you know, part of your mission, I mean, you're doing, but your mission is your vision and what you're also putting out there, right? So it's you're putting out a wish and a vision of what you can do, you know, with your with the resources you have, yourself, et cetera. But you put that wish and that vision out there and then others can come on board and help you accomplish that, right? And so, I mean, I think that's pretty powerful in itself. We're not just limited to what we can achieve ourselves. We're putting out something that's much bigger than ourselves. And so I think that's the other thing I found in this project is that I just started talking about it and it's incredible how many people. And like I said at the beginning, you know, I have these close friends that have wanted to make it happen and they've just been here with me all along. And it's just more and more, it just keeps, you know, people keep coming and how can I help? And how can I help? Well, you know, you just also kind of have to be open to that and realize that you're not just what you can do. You're it's your creativity and your perspective and the vision that you're setting.
Mm. I think you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess I've got the mission and the vision of the story box. So I needed to be at a particular level and I don't feel like it's there yet. So once I do feel like it is there, then I can sort of release the reins a little bit and say, okay, we can bring this person on board more to help me out, to release some of the stresses and all that sort of stuff. But I know that's not, it's probably too soon. So I know that time is coming, but it'll be a little while away. But until that time, I'm going to do the very best that I can with the very limited time that I do have. Because people don't know that I work as well. Like, it's more like a side thing. And when you speak to people on a regular basis, right, it's not a negative thing at all. It's a great thing. I'm blessed to be able to do it. it weighs on you mentally. Like if you're doing, especially with the amount of conversations that I have in a week, there's, you've got to prep for it. Sometimes you've got to be very focused, be very present. And your mind is like, it saps all the energy from it. So I'm always mindful, like how much, and I have a problem as well with doing too much as well. Like I just go a bull at a gate. I bring on project after project, person after person. And I'm like, hang on a minute, I've got to slow down a little bit because my health is going to suffer. I don't listen to my mum. She's always telling me, like, you got to slow down, you know, but I do it because I'm servicing my vision, that vision that I believe that God gave me at the very, very start. And it's a commitment that I made to this project, to helping as many people as I possibly can. And I'm not going to stop until they're just never going to stop. Like, I'll keep going for as long as God enables me to go. And then if I just drop in the process, then I'll know that I've done all I can. Because I don't want to go out with the knowledge of what if I could have done this, I could have done that. I'm just going to keep going until I just, yeah, done everything I could, left everything on the table.
No, I absolutely understand, because I think we're very similar personality wise, I think, from what you're saying and from what little I know from this conversation. What I've been experimenting in the last year has been to do the complete opposite, is to let go. And I'm so amazed by how big things you can do letting go. And not pushing and pushing like I used to, and not pushing. I say it in the not pushing in a negative way. No, but it's just advancing and, you know, being very like, I want to get all these things there and I want to achieve this. And, you know, and a lot of it was also in the space of, you know, wanting to help in different realms. But there's something to be said about stepping back and kind of letting go and putting the vision out there and then starting to move, because things around you help you do it. And if you're the one constantly stepping up to do it, or in my case, what I learned was that by constantly being the one stepping up to do it, I wasn't allowing the help around me to come through. Yeah. And that has been quite a learning process, because it's become just a lot more fun and a lot less stressful. And also obviously I have something else going on in my life that's, you know, that reminds me of the uncertainty of life. But indeed it really has shown me that it's very possible to do things, big things, in a different way. And actually to get to do them with others, which I think is also part of the beauty in the process. It just makes it more fun.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Like it's, yeah, I still struggle with acceptance. Like it's a daily process that I'm learning. I've become better at it, but the more I speak to people like yourself, the more I hear stories of people that have learned to just let go and let be, it's more inspiring. So, like, I still need it. Like, I'm only a human being. Like, I'm not infallible to any of this. So, I appreciate your wisdom, your story. And I guess I want to ask you my favorite question, because I know you do listen to the show. And my all-time favorite question, I feel like it fits perfectly here. So imagine with me, okay, you have beat cancer's butt, you've done everything you wanted to do, you've been able to reach the age of 100. I think that is definitely possible. All your friends and your family have decided to put together a film for you of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. Don't ask me how in the world they got it all. We'll call it magic for the sake of argument. Being able to get it and show it to you on your 100th birthday. What do you want that film to say and to show about your life?
Wow. That's a, it's a, deep question. I would say that if it really showed that I was present and helpful and supportive in the right moments, then I will be, I would be pretty happy about that. Right. And so to do that, you have to be mindful, and be present when those people around you need it. Right. Especially, you know, your kids and your family and friends and whoever is important to you. And I think that is the main thing, but in doing that, you're just, you know, helping others. I think that's what I probably would see most of. I think I'm generally a pretty thoughtful person, and I like to be thoughtful with people in a personal way. And so I think also that's one of the things that has been so great about this, the You Are the Hero project, has been that, you know, in people coming to me individually, kind of like they come to you, right? You get to really have that conversation and make an impact individually and really see that person. And so here, hopefully, I don't know, if I really dream big and hope that this reaches 700 million people all over the world, then that would be amazing. Like, that's what I would like to see on my 100th birthday. that, and that those around me that I care about feel that I've been present and supportive of them. Oh, thank you so much. It was so great to hear back from you, and I hope that we can continue speaking. And I'm looking forward to hopefully you sharing your story with me and with hopefully the rest of the community. And yeah, it's been great. Thank you so much, Jay.